south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. You know, it's funny. Ever since I told that story, I think it was on the last show, about getting pulled over at a roadblock by Latin cops, which turned out to be just a little Christmas time extortion game for them that, by the way, backfired. It didn't work out. They came out of it no richer, and I came out of it with a good story. Anyway, long and short-term gringo expats have been weighing in on the very same thing since I told that story, telling me their experiences, and some of them are pretty hilarious. Now, a long time ago on a previous show, I mentioned I got the shakedown at the Nicaraguan border by not the customs guys or the aduana guys, but by a lone cop in his cruiser about a mile from the border station. You see, I'd pulled into a lone gas station out in the boonies, and when I went into the 7-Eleven part of the gas station to pay for the gas, I noticed there was a sweaty, fat cop sitting in there trying to take advantage of the air conditioning, which wasn't much working at all. And when I walked out to my car, he followed me. So there I was, out in the boonies, a mile from the Nicaraguan border, and that border station is very small and out in the boonies, too. In fact, I just passed through it about 10 or 15 minutes earlier. They made a cursory check of my car, no problem. And now, it looked like once again I was going to have the Nicaraguan federales go through all my stuff. And you know, I had just the right kind of car for traveling through Latin America. A nondescript 7 or 8 year old Suzuki Gran Vitara station wagon, complete with the requisite scratches and dings. And this guy made me take every little thing out of my car. He went through my glove compartment, under the seats, popped the hood. And then, naturally, he found something wrong with my paperwork. It was around Christmas time, so I expected as much. And that's when I said to him, okay, look, let's go back to the border station and talk to them. They just let me in, cleared all my paperwork, put me in the computer, etc., etc. Let's find out why they think my paperwork's okay and you don't. That's when he got a little bit friendlier. But he just wouldn't let me go. Just kept on talking about cousin Jesus and Julio up in the States and how he was going to go up and visit someday, maybe even get a job. Anyway, the clock was ticking. It was getting kind of dark. And I thought, oh man, I'm never going to get rid of this guy. And finally, I'm looking at the pile of all the stuff I took out of the car. It was on the ground now. And finally, he picked up a long, thin box. It had one of those 4-foot fluorescent lights in it. You know, the fixtures? He looked at it with longing eyes, held it up, and said, can I have this? And I think I paid 15 or 20 bucks for it, and I thought, what the hell, if that's what it takes? So I said, sure, you can have it. And he nodded, gracias, señor. And then I put my hand behind the front back seat. I have a little box on the floor back there. And I handed him a plastic 2-liter bottle of Coke. And he was so thankful he helped me pack everything back in the car, neat as can be. Now, that was a while ago, but from then on I really changed my strategy. I decided I'd always carry little items like that in that little box in the back of my car, just in case. So now I carry 4 or 5 packages of very cheap local junk food, like chicharrones, a Latin favorite, which is nothing more than fried pig skin. Yuck. And by the way, there's a popular song out on Latin radio right now. It's called Chicharrón con pelos, which means fried pig skin with hair on it, which does not paint a pretty picture, but you should see those Latinas dance to it. But I digress. Where was I? Oh, yeah. I carry stuff like that and a plastic liter or two bottle of the cheap local Coca-Cola. It's around half the price of real Coke. I think they call it Cola Grande or something. And yes, the bottles look nearly the same because, well, they pirate everything down here. Anyway, now I don't get pulled over much at all in Latin America. The last time was, well, a week or so ago, and then before that, a year, maybe 2 years, can't remember. And guess what? At the Nicaragua border was the last time I ever had to pay real mordida. That's what they call it, you know, a bite. That would be a bribe. Since then, every time I've been pulled over, I either get out of it completely, or it costs me a bottle of cheap fake Coke and some real bad cheap junk food chicharrones. Because, you know, the cops down here have not graduated to donuts yet. Too expensive. Down here, a small bag of cheap local junk food, believe it or not, 10 to 25 cents, as opposed to donuts, which are 50 cents to a buck each. But you know, since in the last 20 or 30 years, cops and donuts up in the States are the running bad joke, I think the lag time effect on that down here will kick in shortly, since, like I mentioned in a past show, Dunkin' Donuts has arrived, and a cloned Latin version called, get this, American Donuts, has started franchising down here too. So you go into one of these places, even early morning and late in the evening, and you'll never see a cop. Not yet, anyway. But the bottom line here is that I have a little box in the back when I'm traveling. You know, I don't keep it with me all the time when I'm in the big city. But if I'm traveling around from country to country, town to town, out in the boonies, by car, I always have a little box like that with me. Now, just recently, my expat buddy John Galt, from his great site, www.thenewexpat.com, he passed on this good bit of information to me. He knows a lot of gringos and Latins who drive a lot. So he's heard from people on how to successfully maneuver your way through those roadblocks without paying a bribe. He says what seems to work the best is to have somewhere in the back seat of your car. A cooler, some very cheap beer, and maybe even a half pint of some real rot-gut whiskey. Doesn't matter to them as long as the bottle says whiskey. And by the way, they've got a real snazzy-looking Johnny Walker red clone down here that can generally fool a drunk, so it'll do just fine. And why do I say drunk? Well, guess what? The latest statistics from WHO, the World Health Organization, report that 1 in 3 Latin American males is a recovering or chronic alcoholic. 1 in 3. And I can attest to that. Of all the Latin males I've known more than superficially, nearly all of them has said to me that they once had an alcohol problem. How's that? But where were we? Oh yeah, we were talking about what really comes in handy when you get pulled over by the cops. Now, according to my buddy John Galt, what really does the trick is to carry around some very, very cheap cigars with you too. John Galt claims once you give a cop a cigar, you're kind of like blood brothers from then on. Well, at least till you drive away. So I'm thinking, hey, great idea. So thanks for that little tip, Mr. Galt. But for my little copper care package, I think I'll skip the beers and stick with the Coca-Cola clones. And definitely get a few of those nasty-ass cheap cigars. Oh, and by the way, since we're talking about having liquor in the car, the fact is you can have just about anything in your car, except maybe a bazooka and an unregistered gun or two, and the cops will leave you alone. Even if you've got 10 cases of whiskey in your car, they'll just look it over longingly and hope to get a bottle or two. In fact, even if you have open liquor in the car, it doesn't seem to matter to the cops. Sure, if the cops are having a particularly bad day and you're driving crazily, they might give you a DUI test. You know, make you walk the line. Since I've yet to see a cop with an actual breathalyzer on the gringo tourist trail anyway. But get this, even so, if you fail a sobriety test, you'll just get a ticket. They won't take the car from you. You get to drive it home or wherever you were going. In fact, one Latin guy I know who really likes to drink, he's one of those statistics I mentioned earlier. He told me in the past he'd been pulled over for this and that, usually at one of those typical stops where they just point at your car and you pull over. He said one time he flunked a sobriety test and he drove off because he wasn't that bad off. And another time he was really drunk and he just sat for about 45 minutes alongside the road with the cops until he advised them he was okay to drive. Each time he said he got a ticket, but it was only something like $25. Okay, then what about women drivers when pulled over at a roadblock? Well, since it's such a macho society, they do have a great advantage. Just a fake smile and a come-hither look will get any girl out of a ticket in general. Unless, of course, she's a snooty, upscale woman in an SUV that's worth more than the cop's house. The kind of stuck-up, upscale Latin woman that'll look down her nose at a lowly cop in between making an appointment with her hairdresser on her smartphone. Then, the lowly cop will surely play games with that woman. As one ex-Latin cop told me, who's now a bodyguard for a wealthy Latin guy. Oh, and by the way, he says now he makes more money, about $500 a month instead of $350 or $400, as a cop. He gets to wear a nice suit, not to mention his boss provides free meals. Besides, he says, he gets to hang out in upscale malls and nice places like Costco, Starbucks, and IHOP. And nope, when he told me that with an excited grin, I did not laugh in his face. I laughed in my head, though. Now get this. He was an illegal alien up in the States, got deported after about 5 years, so his English was about 40 or 50%, mostly Los Angeles Latin ghetto speak. Anyway, he told me that the police department recruiters in Central America, anyway, actually look at certain guys deported from the States as an asset. Why? Because Latin police departments, and in fact many Latin employers, believe the more English you know, the higher class you are. So, Police departments, anyway, want to have what they consider high-class people working for them. So anyway, like he said, it was to his advantage to have been deported from the States because he got a skill. Yeah, he actually said that. And you know, it doesn't even raise a red flag in the mind of a police recruiter that the guy's committed a million crimes, because once you sneak into the U.S., you get fake IDs and fake social security numbers, and basically you're telling lies 24/7. Well, let's just say if a natural-born American pulled that crap, he'd soon be fitted for an orange jumpsuit, and he'd be oh so careful where he dropped that bar of soap in the shower. So anyway, this former Latin cop told me that when they pull over someone, especially a woman, they look at the last two names on the license very closely. Because remember, down here in Latin America, the last name is the mother's maiden name, and the second last name is the married name. Or if you're not married, your father's last name. Now, this former cop mentioned, as anyone knows down here, there are 10 or 20 big Latin families that own most of everything. And that's true with every Latin country. And Latin cops are keenly aware of this, lest they roust or manhandle a person from one of those families and the hammer come down on them later. For example, one of the big-time famous landowners here in Latin America has the last name Castillo, which means castle. Of course, there are others like Lara, Pais, Roble, certain names most Latins recognize as high-powered families. We're talking about old wealth here, some of it going back to Spanish rule and the kings and queens of Spain. These are people whose distant ancestors were on the receiving end of big colonial land grants, which is how they got rich in the first place, besides the fact that for hundreds of years they had a nice indigenous crew of slaves. Come to think of it, with the average person making 10 to 15 bucks a day, in a way it's still like that. Anyway, this former illegal alien, former Latin American cop, and now bodyguard to a rich family told me that when he was a cop, all of his cop buddies were aware of the certain 10 or 20 big names in the country, and if one of them popped up in any kind of incident, they'd tread lightly, very lightly. Now, if someone has the name Castillo, that doesn't mean he or she belongs to that famous family. There are lots of Castillos. Poor ones, too. But when you've got two wealthy family matches with one name, for example, the last name Lara and the second last name Castillo, with those probabilities, you've certainly got a hit. In that case, the cop says, sometimes whatever infraction the lady has committed, she gets a police escort wherever she's going. Case closed. Wait a minute. Doesn't that kind of thing occur in pustulent wastelands like Washington, D.C., too? Anyway, the cops know what side their bread is buttered on. Oh, and by the way, don't worry about the cops ever running your plate or your driver's license. They've got none of that technology, and often their radios don't even work. They're just using their own cell phones. Now, of course, I'm talking about when you're off the gringo tourist trail, which constitutes 95% or more of the Latin American landmass. However, when you're on the gringo tourist trail or in a supposedly developing first world wannabe Latin country like Costa Rica, Panama, or Chile and Argentina, well, if you get pulled over there, the technology occasionally does work. But don't count on it, which can, believe it or not, be a good thing. But back to the point. When ladies are pulled over by the cops, the former cop told me, no matter who they are, even if they're a nobody, they almost always get a free pass, unless they're rude or uppity to the cops. And he said if it's something serious, like, for example, a car accident, and a lady breaks down and cries, that always works in her favor, too. So all you gringa expat wannabes and gonabes out there, keep that in mind. Keep those tear ducts lubed. Oh, and by the way, ladies, I'm talking about expat gringas here and gringa visitors, that means no need to carry a six-pack and a cooler of beer, a half-pint, a pirated Johnny Walker, or a couple of smelly, cheap stogies in your car either. Just be polite and be ready to turn on the tears if necessary. Oh, and by the way, ladies, remember that lesson from last show when the famous Captain Mango and I were pulled over a week or two ago and the young Latin lady in the car would not get out because she knew she didn't have to, because it's law in most Latin countries that a woman does not have to get out of the car without a female officer present. So ladies, if you get pulled over, just learn this simple phrase. Policía, mujer, por favor. Policía, which means police. Mujer, which means woman. Por favor, please. Police woman, please. Oh, and by the way, down here in Latin America, the ratio of police women, that's females to males, in the so-called national police forces is around 50 to 1. 50 males to one female. However, in the transit police, those would be the ones that give you moving violation tickets and parking tickets, etc. They wear a completely different uniform than the national cops in any Latin country. Anyway, the female cop to male cop ratio there is much better. And that's mostly because the majority of these ladies direct traffic or are meter maids. And by the way, the word meter maid in Spanish is not sexist. Anyway, the female ratio with transit cops is about 1 in 10. Not good, but about 5 times better than the national cop ratio. Oh, and by the way, this is especially for gringa and expat lady drivers. If you're going to park anywhere in the city, always try to park in a parking lot, not on the street, or some guy will generally try to extort a few bucks out of you to watch your car. However, like I said in the past show, since those guys will also wash your car with pretty nasty, dirty water anyway, if you have them wash your car, which usually costs around $2, you won't have to pay the buck or so extortion fee for watching it. Actually, he's not watching it, you know. It's just a protection racket. If you don't pay him, he might do something nasty to it. Oh, and by the way, ladies, if your Spanish kind of sucks, and even if your Spanish is pretty good, note that in pretty much all medium and large Latin cities now, they've got some very crazy-looking parking meters. Sometimes there'll be single units just sitting there as normal, and you stick the local funny money coins in there, which, by the way, is no guarantee the money will actually register some time for you. Whereas sometimes, and you see this more often now, there'll be designated painted outlines on the street with numbers on them. So when you park your car, you're supposed to walk down the street and look for the single meter that registers all the cars on that strip. Might be 4, might be 6, might be even 10 cars to that one single meter. So you go up to that little meter, punch the button for the space you're in, let's say you're in space 3, and put your coins in. Then it'll register how much time you have in your parking spot. Sounds easy, right? I'm sure there's a lot of those setups in the States, so you know what to do, right? Not quite. First of all, you have to know that the word maintenance practically doesn't exist in the Spanish language, and worse yet, when it comes to the government, everything that's not brand new is run down, fallen apart. So, parking meters of all kinds, especially ones that are a little more sophisticated, well, good luck with that. So then what are you supposed to do? Because, you know, sometimes you'll be in a very safe area of a city, and you will have to park on the street because the private lots are all full. So then how do you know if you're in a safe enough area of the city to park on the street? Well, if there are a lot of nice cars and SUVs parked there, should be very safe. In other words, you don't want your car to stand out as the nicest one there. That said, as a preference, I almost always would rather park in a lot. So anyway, if you are stuck parking on the street and using one of those meters, what are you supposed to do if they don't work? Well, you know, this is Latin America, so there'll always be some little street urchin there who'll walk up to your car and say, "Hey, I'll load up the meter for you." And even if it doesn't work, as long as he's standing there and a parking meter cop comes by, he'll signal the cop that he's watching out for your car. That's always the arrangement. The parking meter cops know the machines don't work half the time. And the little urchin that's watching your car has a handful of change. That's his job, day in and day out. And sometimes, of course, he'll wash your car too for $2. So what'll happen then is when you come back, he'll say, "Well, you were here for 2 hours, that'll be $2, whatever." Oh, and by the way, you'll know whether the parking meter or meters he's attending are busted or not by how much he charges. If, for example, the parking meter will take $1 or 50 cents for an hour and it's broken, that's what the guy will charge because then he won't have to be feeding the machine. That's clear profit for him. However, if the parking meter or meters actually work, the little urchin will be feeding the meter for you. So when you come back, you'll have to pay him that plus a little for his margin. And down here in Latin America, the highest hourly parking rate I've ever seen, off the Gringo Tourist Trail that is around $3 an hour, but that's very rare. Whereas the normal parking garage or meter rates are around 50 cents to $1.50 an hour. Oh, and by the way, in a lot of the very high-end malls that are slightly out of the city in the burbs, they have sophisticated automatic parking gates with cameras and counters to tell you which spots are empty and which are open. And what always cracks me up is they buy these machines from the States, so everything's in English. You know, insert ticket here with metallic strip facing up, which is why so many times you'll find yourself behind a person who can't quite figure it out, and you'll wait until an attendant comes and sticks his private pass in there and lets the guy through. And another thing that really cracks me up, in a lot of those sophisticated automatic parking garages, they'll have the automatic gate there and an attendant 24/7. He's just standing there all day in his suit, doing nothing, though sometimes you can hand him the ticket and he'll stick it in for you. Must be a deeply satisfying job experience, huh? You'll see it when you come down here. The labor redundancies in Latin America are incredible. Many employers can afford to double, even triple up on manpower because they pay these guys only $200 to $300 a month. And note, when you go to one of these big, luxurious, high-end shopping malls, many of them 5 or 10 miles out in the burbs, sometimes you'll find the parking's free, and sometimes you can stay up to 4 hours for only a buck or two. So anyway, ladies and gents, if you're parking on the street in Latin America, and a little urchin comes up to you and says he'll watch or wash your car or plug the meter for you while you're gone, whether it's working or not, as much as you and I don't believe in petty extortion like that, go ahead and let him do it. Otherwise, find a real parking garage. So, do I ever park on the street? Once in a great while when the parking lots are filled, and the cars around me are better than mine. So then, do I pay the little urchin? Well, I always say to him, I'll pay you when I come back if there's no marks on my car at all. Or I'll let him wash my car for $2, and that's a fair trade. Even so, if they want to charge you, especially at night, for washing your car, I'll never give them the full rate. If they ask for $2, I'll give them 50 cents. And sometimes if they're a pushy, nasty type, I'll come back from wherever I was and inspect the car and say, hey, the deal was there would be no scratches or dents in my car. And then I'll point one out, because I always do have a few dents and scratches. That happens to even the most fastidious of gringo expats. You'll get over it. And the little guy will almost never be able to talk his way out of the fact that there's a scratch there, even though it was probably there for 2 years. So that's what I do, and you can do it. It'll work for you. But it works best if you know a certain amount of Spanish. The cops and the urchins off the gringo tourist trail will not speak English. And though the urchin might be wearing a 2002 ZZ Top World Tour t-shirt with all the cities and concert dates, they don't know what the hell those gringo words mean. But they certainly know that all the cool and upscale kids have clothes with English words on them. Okay, now it's time for an expat Eddie Christmas story. Yep, had to spend a little time with expat Eddie around the holidays. He leads a strange and interesting life, as do many long-term expats. Yep, you'll find out we're all just a little bit eccentric. Now, as for expat Eddie, he lives in a guarded, gated, upscale community in the burbs of San Salvador. There happens to be a lot of wealthy Latins living in his neighborhood, extreme gringo wannabes, as he puts it, and with their gringo wannabe intolerable kids, too. In fact, a couple of doors down, there's a spoiled little rich kid who lives with his parents. He's around 22 years old, who until this Christmas season anyway, has always been driven around by the family chauffeur in one of Daddy's three boxy show-off SUVs, one of which is a ridiculously huge monster of a car, a Chevy Tahoe. Though it's black, it's a big white elephant. You can't park it anywhere. The narrow streets of the big city aren't made for cars like that. There's a number of reasons, but like I've said so many times before, it's all about the show. Anyway, as Eddie tells it, right before Christmas, guess what? This young, entitled kid who previously always had a driver got a new car. His daddy bought him a brand new Corvette. And Eddie says it's the only really late model Corvette he's ever seen in San Salvador. Yes, Eddie says it's brand spanking new, and it can barely get over the tumulos, that's the speed bumps, in their own gated community. Imagine what it's like with some of those massive tumulos in the naked city of San Salvador, not to mention the potholes and the occasional flooding in the rainy season. So Eddie said the kid's naturally showing off by revving it up and driving it around their gated community like a madman, sometimes even laying rubber. Of course, everybody in the colony, the subdivision, is annoyed, but not enough to actually go over and knock on the door and complain because his dad's a really big so-and-so who owns a chain of hardware stores, a cement company, and a bunch of drugstores. So the neighbors remain calm and tolerate his brat kids, though Eddie doesn't. So anyway, this kid gets the worst car imaginable for Latin America, a new Corvette. Then, early on Christmas Eve day, Eddie was about to drive out of his little community, going through the guard shack entrance as usual. And when Eddie got there, that kid with the Corvette was right in front of him, revving his motor and waiting to take off too as soon as the guy lifted the gate. So Eddie pulled right up behind him, the kid stepped on it, laid some rubber, and peeled out. So Eddie, you know, just shook his head, said a few F-words, and took a left out of his subdivision. And sure enough, about 3/4 of a kilometer up, there was a police roadblock. Yeah, they were trolling for Christmas presents from the high rollers in the subdivisions around the area. And guess who was pulled over at the side? Mr. Gringo Wannabe Corvette. Standing there, arguing with the cop as the cop wrote out a ticket. Now, they didn't pull Eddie over. He's got a 6-year-old Toyota pickup truck with a couple of dings and bangs. Nothing terrible. Just the right vehicle for a guy bumming around in Latin America. So then what happened next? Eddie pulled alongside the kid, rolled down the window, gave the kid a big smile and said in Spanish, "Howdy, neighbor. Everything okay?" The kid gave a half-assed nod and Eddie took off. About 5 kilometers ahead, Eddie pulled into a big shopping center, had to do his last-minute Christmas shopping. Traffic was tight, a lot of cars. In fact, the day before Christmas is the busiest traffic day of the year in Latin America. Down here, it's not Black Friday. Nobody knows what that is, though lag time on that is catching up, too. Anyway, an hour later, Eddie pulled out of that shopping center. He heads down that same road a couple of more kilometers to another shopping plaza. However, halfway there, there's another Christmas police roadblock, and guess what? The same Corvette pulled over again. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And of course, Eddie, driving that 6-year-old pickup truck, they let him slide by, though he did stop again, roll down the window, beep the horn, wave, and give the kid a nice big grin once again. This time, the kid looked at him for a second and looked away just as quickly. So then, Eddie was on his way, doing more chores, and he doubled back. A half hour later, he passed that very same roadblock again, and the kid with the vet was still there. This time, alongside him was a big, black, ridiculous Tahoe SUV. It seems Daddy and his driver were outside talking to the cops. Yep, it was Big Daddy to the rescuer, so it seemed. Oh, I forgot to mention the most important part. There was another police cruiser parked behind the Corvette. And stenciled in white letters on the side of that vehicle were the words División de Narcóticos, which means Narcotics Division. So as it turns out, this idiot 20-something had a nice big stash of ecstasy and some other designer drugs in his new vet. Of course, he had just the right car for the lowest possible profile, too. Right? Now, of course, the story's not over. Eddie said his dad had some massive pull, so the kid will probably get out of it, but that's the kind of stuff that goes on down here. Sound familiar? Seems like that could happen in any old upscale neighborhood in Cleveland, right? Except for the fact that up in the States, it's difficult to pay the cops off. And if you tried that, you'd probably lose your driving privileges forever and maybe even get fitted with that orange jumpsuit. Whereas down here, if you've got the dough and the right last name, it's usually a get-out-of-jail-free card. Now, if gringos get into sticky situations like that, they don't have the right last names, but they have that gringo advantage, which could be just as good.
South of the border.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me. Just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos!